We have to run through this kind of fast because I've got a hockey game. So
yeah. Let's do it.
It's yeah, you'll see. They're just okay. One question. So let me pull up my list here. All right. So the first one is, you've probably gotten this before. If you could eliminate just one governmental department, what would it be?
Federal Reserve.
Yeah, that's my answer too. I used to say Department of Defense, but then I realized no, the Fed funds this. So
head of the monster, head of the monster.
Absolutely. All right. So Murray Rothbard once said that everybody is allowed kind of one deviation, right? One exception to their principles. It's cool. Mm. What is your most unlibertarian view?
And I've been asked this before, and I'm not sure I have a good answer for it because
you're such a pure libertarian.
I'm such a it's sad that this is audio only because otherwise you would see that I have flaming white hair because I've reached my Super Saiyan level.
Right.
My final, and so I can't get any more libertarian. Gosh, if I had to pick one, I've been asked this before, and I don't know that I have, you know, a thing where I go, well, this isn't very libertarian, but I would say that to whatever extent that I tolerate the state, it's not my anarcho-capitalist ideal, but it's really just more the reality, the pragmatic reality that there's a state, we have to deal with it. So yeah. I guess that's the best answer I can give you on that one.
Mine is, I just really have no trouble arresting or citing people who drive slow in the left-hand lane.
Oh, okay. That's mine too. Death penalty.
Yeah. I like, you know, TJ Kilmer, CJ Kilmer, who does the Dangerous History podcast. He said state parks, which I thought was, I get that because here in Florida, we've got some awesome state parks. Now, probably better if they weren't run by the state, but as far as
that's the
state
thing,
doing
like
something, you know.
Oh, and that's the thing. If the state's going to do something like parks, libraries, these aren't the things that I, you know, these aren't the first things that hit the chopping block in Ancapistan.
Right, exactly. All right. Cake or pie?
Oh, pie. Pie's like a liquid cake.
Yeah, absolutely. Pie's the correct answer, by the way.
Pie is the objectively the right answer.
Right, yeah. Pickup truck or sports car?
I'm a sports car guy. I like trucks, but I'm a sports car guy. I want it fast.
You were the first person that I've done this with. So this is the fifth mudslide round, I think. You're the first person that said sports car.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I'm a sports car guy too. Fast. Now it's funny because my wife, redneck from West Virginia, she's like pickup truck. Like if we won the lottery, she'd have a dually with like the diesel stacks that blow smoke. That would be my wife, and I'd be in the car.
Love that. I love mud bogging. I love the whole pickup truck. I love all that stuff. Like a great truck that would be right behind sports car. But if I had to pick two cars, first one would be a really nice sports car. Second would be a really nice, you know, truck or SUV or something like that.
Well, so just buy a truck for your wife and drive it.
There you go. Yeah, that's
all right. So mountains or beach?
Beach. I am. There are sun Jews and snow Jews. I am a sun Jew. I like to be as close to the water. I live a few blocks from the ocean. I made it up. That's why. It's a whole theory I came up with, sun Jews and snow Jews. If you're Jewish, you're either a sun Jew or a snow Jew. There's no in between. I am solidly a sun Jew. I will one day soon retire to South Florida, thereby completing my character arc.
That's awesome. Yeah. Same. Obviously, we live. Yeah.
We're very similar.
Yeah. We live a mile from the Gulf. But we actually, there's a river right behind my house.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so cats, dogs, or no damn animals in the house?
I'm a dog guy. Right now we have this it's like a hospice case, this 15-year-old teacup poodle that my wife decided to take, and it was supposed to die after a few weeks. It's been alive for over a year now. I consider it more of a rat than a dog, but it's all right. I'm a dog guy though.
I'm getting the impression you're like big dog breed.
Yeah, we've always had pit bulls, Rottweilers, Great Danes. I'm a big dog guy. I don't mind smaller dogs. This thing weighs 4 pounds. I'm afraid I'm going to accidentally step on it and murder it.
Yeah, that's really just a canine cat. It's really what that is.
It's a rat. The thing, it even looks like a rat. It makes noises like a rat.
I'm a cat person, to be honest.
Okay, I like cats, yeah.
Little bit of the creative artist, musician, cats kind of thing, I guess.
Well, and they also have a broader depth of you got to get to know them before they trust you. Dogs love you the second they meet you.
Like, yeah. And they love everybody pretty much.
And they love everyone. It's very shallow emotion there. Yeah,
exactly. I know the answer to this one based on the Sunju Snowju thing, but would you rather be too hot or too cold?
Oh, hot. Yeah. No, I'd rather burn to death than be even remotely cold. Yeah.
Being cold's the worst thing in the world. We were living in Northeast Florida for a while up north of Jacksonville. And that's where my mom was. So we moved down there in November. I'm like, oh great, you know, we're moving to Florida. This is cool. Like in December, it frosted. I'm like, frost in Florida. I mean, we got to go farther south. Yeah,
we have to go further south. The last time I was in Miami was last Labor Day, and I went to the beach in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, every single day I was there. Like the events that I was there for, they had to schedule them so that I had at least an hour of beach time every day. And on Labor Day itself, on Monday, I did nothing but I stayed at the beach for 7 hours. I came home purple with blisters on my scalp. I was in excruciating pain, and the whole time, every time I looked in the mirror and saw, I was like, it was worth it. I would rather burn to death than be even uncomfortably cold.
See, you'll relate to my perfect vacation. Like, and people think I'm nuts, but I could literally go get a place that's on the beach and spend all day every day just sitting on the beach.
Doing nothing else.
I might do a little fishing, I might do some snorkeling, throw some no reason to go to Disney or any tourist attraction.
None of it.
Just give me the beach.
None of it. The one thing I would add is salsa dancing, which is why I love Miami so much, because you don't have to leave the beach. There are people salsa dancing on the beach.
On the beach.
So I could stay on the beach. If you want to go fishing, snorkeling, as long as I don't have to leave the beach.
Yeah. All right. Who is your favorite musician? This can be band or solo artist, orchestra, whatever.
This always
stumps everybody. Yeah.
This is a tough one because I like so many different styles of music.
Same.
If I had to pick one.
You have to. That's the rules.
It has to be Prince, right? Like I feel
that's good.
I feel like it has to be Prince. If I had to pick a second runner-up, it would be Juan Luis Guerra, who is a Latin music artist.
Okay, cool.
It's got to be Prince. I think it sort of has to, obligatory Prince answer.
Yeah, Prince is one of them. I thought for a long time, I thought pop dude. And then when I started getting into music and started realizing, first off, he did everything.
He
played everything and produced and just the depth of his artistry was pretty amazing.
If he were alive and healthy still, he'd be the number one trap rap artist. He just did everything. And that's why it sort of had to answer that. He's an expert. He's the most complete, in the same way that Michael Jordan could do every single part of basketball better than anyone else. He could do any part of music better than anyone else.
Yeah. I approve this message. This is the last one. Best book you've ever read. Doesn't have to be anything about libertarian, just best book you've ever read.
Man,
this is a hard one.
So that I actually mentioned both of these books in this, which are No Treason by Spooner, which just left me. It's the only book I've ever read that blew my mind within the first few sentences and never stopped. Yeah. The longer I went through it, the more I was just holy crap, this is just, but honestly, it's not that. It is How to Win Friends and Influence People, because that is what I have used in my personal life, in business, in politics. Once you figure out how you can relate to people in a way that connects with them on a personal level, not only can you be incredibly successful, not only can you inspire people to want to be a part of what you're doing and to want to be led by you on this journey, but you genuinely, in doing so, you program yourself and it eventually becomes second nature to actually care about other people and to listen to them. And it's not about you anymore. It's about them even more than you in some ways. And it's about all of us. Yeah. And so I would say if I had to pick one book, it would be How to Win Friends and Influence.
That's good. One thing about Spooner that is kind of amusing to me is that I think the quote that everybody knows, if the Constitution be one thing or another, I think that's
dumbest,
that's absolutely the dumbest line in that entire essay.
Really?
Because
why is that? I'm interested to know why that is.
Because there's a built-in presupposition there that these words on paper are somehow going to enforce themselves. It's not the Constitution's fault. Now, no, you could argue, and I'm totally down with the whole, you know, lack of consent and all that. But the Constitution, any philosophy is going to fail if the people who are in that society refuse to hold up whatever it is that sustains it. It's like a contract. If you and I are in a contract and I start doing things that violate the contract and you don't do anything about it, it's not the contract's fault. It's your stupid fault for not holding me to the contract. So I just think that's
right.
And most people who use that quote have never read any other part of it. They just think it's a
gotcha. They just know that quote. Yes, they just know that quote.
And it's even funnier. It's even funnier when they throw it at me thinking that I don't know that. Like, I've been doing Constitution stuff for over a decade. I've heard that quote.
Oh, that's right, because you're a 10th Amendment center. Me.
You know, this is not something it's not shocking.
They're like, okay, well, I know that you're really big about the 10th Amendment, but did you know that the Constitution right. either authorized the government that we had or was powerless to stop it?
Gotcha.
Therefore, like, gotcha. Yeah. Therefore, it's unfit to exist. I believe I get the point of the quote, which is that, you know, this idea that this government charter is going to save us all. Well, it either, you know, it authorized what we have or couldn't do anything to stop it. So, you know, let's stop using it as that. But yeah, no, you're right. And it actually drives home the point that many the founders made, which is, and what we talked about before, which is that if, you know, if we don't do actual action, the reality of power is that the people that swear an oath to protect and defend the Constitution will go to office and completely ignore it if they aren't held to account to it. So it doesn't mean anything more than the ideas of property rights or anything else. If someone isn't willing to enforce it, then it doesn't mean anything, which means we're all actually a bunch of egoists. And that's for part two of the next time that I'm on the show. Good night, everyone.
Awesome. All right, I'm going to stop recording.